Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 11th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 77, the second paragraph that begins with, "Under no condition do we criticize." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kathy B., who will be reading the 12 steps, Stephanie L. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Eileen M. and Penny L. C. The share ID for Tuesday, August 10th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,526. That's 17526. This morning's Wednesday, August 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 17,535. That's 17535. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Kathy B. from Oklahoma, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
And thank you so much, Kathy B. Stephanie L., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please? Star one to unmute, Stephanie.
I was talking away. Good morning. Stephanie
Good morning.
Allen here. Muted compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or as OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 77. The second paragraph that begins with, under no condition do we criticize. We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Eileen M., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, this is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. So, why do we do amends? You know, why would we go through this humbling action? And the amends are for us, you know, and this is a vital step in part. It's part of going to any length. And it says, if our manner is calm. So we have to get calm, you know, and my sponsor will often say to me, Eileen, you need to get neutral with the person before you approach them. And I think that's really important, is to do the inventory, look at my part, see where I've harmed them. And that helps me get right-sized again. So, you know, the purpose of the step, I've been told, is we get right with other people, and we don't injure them or others in the process. So yesterday I had a 10th step, and I took it to someone in the program. You know, I was accountable for my part in the interaction that I had with someone, and I knew that I had to make an amends, and you know, I discussed it with that person, and then I took it to prayer and meditation, and I asked God, you know, for the words to say. And, you know, I usually write it out. I write out my amends so I know exactly what I'm going to talk about. And, you know, one of the things that happens is it gets me free from self-loathing. You know, it releases me from really the bondage of self, because, I mean, you know, we carry this stuff around, and, you know, it's not good for us. And, you know, I got to say, you know, it's so important to make amends after I do an inventory. And I say this because I've done it the other way. I've made amends before I look at my part, and I don't get everything. And that's not so effective for me. So it's very important, you know, do the 10-step first, or, you know, if you're in step four, do a thorough 4-step. And then, you know, step 9 is in that place for a reason. So that's my share, and with that I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Eileen M., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 77, the second paragraph. Under no condition do we criticize. We're commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Bonnie J.M.
Okay, hold on. Who was the first person that came in?
Bonnie J.M.
Deb E.
Deb E. Okay, Deb E. and Bonnie J.M. Are two brave people this morning.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M., thank you.
Zane W.
Is that Van W?
Zane, Z-A-N-E-W.
Zane, okay, thanks, Zane. Anyone else want to step up? Okay, while you all get your confidence up, we'll start with these four. So I have Deb E., Bonnie J.M., Joan Marie M., and Vane W. So go ahead, please, Debbie.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And this paragraph is a good reminder for me of how much humility I need towards these steps. You know, my default thinking wants me to do exactly what this paragraph instructs me not to do. I want to go and give the whole story to the person of why they were wrong, why I was in a position to do whatever I did to them, how it's all their fault. You know, like these are things that I didn't want to admit about myself, but that's really like my default, my like original setup has me wired to think that way because I think that I developed this thinking along the way that I can't make mistakes. And if I can't make mistakes, then I can't be wrong. And the reason I can't make mistakes and be wrong is because then I'm not acceptable, because then I'm not perfect. You know, this is the kind of thinking I was stuck in for so long. And so to have to go make amends to someone and not bring up their part, you know, I was like, okay, if I can at least like complain about what they did and then apologize, then, you know, I could stomach that. But it's a real lesson in humility and putting my ego aside to go, this isn't just like, I'm not like just apologizing for something I did. I'm trying to show that I've truly changed. I'm trying to show that moving forward, I'm going to amend my behavior. I'm going to act differently. And I don't know if it's because it was so long ago or just like nothing really sticks in my mind. I feel like I don't have any like amends story that was really powerful, that was in person. My most powerful one is actually done through a letter because the person was no longer living. But most of my amends that stands out from my mind and that I continue to do on a regular basis are the living amends that I have to do, the constant, you know, every year when I'm reviewing the steps over and over, the stuff that comes up for my events is the people who are the closest to me usually. You know, what have I done that caused any harm? How can I amend my behavior so that my relationships improve? And of course, always using these steps as my guide and how to do that. And so this has been a real, like, journey for me because they're like, no, I don't get to say anything about what the other person did. I have to leave that aside. It really doesn't matter. And I used to think that by not mentioning what they did, excuse them for their part. And that's not what it means. It's not what this is about. What it means is all I can do is clean up my side of the street. All I can do is be responsible for my side. No one's expecting me to like change the world and change everybody else. But if I change myself, everyone else seems to miraculously change also. There's always this like amazing shift. Oh, sorry, is that time?
It's time, thanks. Thank you, Deb.
All right, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if it sounded like she cut out on, or if that was just my phone. Okay, well, thank you, Deb E. from Israel. So Bonnie J.M., you are up, followed by Joan Marie M. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hi, I'm Bonnie J.M., and I'm from Phoenix. Yeah, I wanted to talk on this one, and I want to go back. I've been in program a long time, but I want to go back to one of the first amends that I had to make, and it was with my little brother. And I grew up very, very jealous of him and was mean, really mean. And there was... At one point, I remember hitting him in the stomach with a baseball bat when I was a small child, and I carried that with me until I got into the program, which was, I don't know, years later, years and years later. And when I went to make that amend, he didn't even remember it, and yet I'd been carrying it around forever. But the one thing that amend did for me, and it really set the pace for all the others, is that once I made the amend, I could feel that my conscience was different, that there'd been a shift, and that I'd let go of the guilt. And in my family, almost everything was, if you did something wrong, it was about guilt, so that I would feel guilty about. And then later on, and there was something else that I picked up, which I wanted to make amends for, but didn't really know what it was I had done. And so when I noticed somebody, and I'm thinking of a particular friend, that I noticed her kind of back away from me, I asked, is there something I've done to offend you? Because I know my intention was not ever to do that. And, sometimes she would say yes, sometimes she would say no. But it was important for me to ask because I never really wanted to offend anybody. And if I did, then I apologize right on the spot. But with that, I'm going to pass. Because to me, what's really important in doing this process is that when I'm through, that I know that my conscience is clear. And then I've done my part. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie J.M. in Phoenix, Arizona. Joan Marie M., you're up, followed by Vane W. Go ahead, Joan Marie.
Hi, I'm Joan Marie from Las Vegas. Thank you, Kathleen, for encouraging me to share. Okay, under no conditions we are to criticize a person or argue. We're there to sweep off our side of the street, and that we more or less won't recover if we don't. His faults are never discussed. That was drummed into me so many years ago. I'm going back through the years to the very first one. And for me, it was to get the hardest ones done first. So it was to an ex-husband, and I was very materialistic. And even though by law or whatever you could legally keep the wedding ring, I knew I needed to give it back to him. And also it was just drummed into me that it doesn't matter if they accept your apology or what their reaction is. Not to expect anything, just to do it. And that's exactly what I did. And my very first one, his reaction was, well, have you gotten religious? And I just said, you might say that. And then the other thing that he said that was trying to hurt was, well, I'm just going to give it to my girlfriend now. So no reaction from me. I knew that I did my part. It didn't matter what the reaction was. Most of the other ones were, they didn't remember or they accepted it. But, you know, it was so freeing to be able to go there with no expectations whatsoever, but to just clean up my side of the street. I'm so grateful for the freedom that I have received through the years. And I thank God that I am free and in the place of neutrality right now. And I'm staying there by doing all the work that I need to do. And this was a very important step in my life. Thanks for letting me share. God bless everyone.
And thank you, Joan Marie M. in Nevada. Okay, just a reminder before I take you, Vane, that we're on page 77, the second paragraph, under no condition do we criticize. I'll be taking some more names after Vane. So go ahead, please, Vane.
Hi, everybody. This is Zane W. I'm in Phoenix. As a fellow Phoenician on the line, so appreciate that. I am on day 5 of abstinence. I've been in the program for about 3-4 years. I've experienced long stretches of abstinence up to over a year. But in the last year, really have been not working the program consistently, focusing on other programs. And this disease does not sleep, so it caught up with me, and it's a big part of my history. It's a major challenge. So anyway, I'm just grateful to be back working the program with a sponsor, doing a 90 and 90, going to a lot of meetings and working the steps. And so in regards to the reading, I appreciated, this section, just being calm, frank, and open. I have made amends before. I'm going back through the steps right now. And the piece that has been emphasized to me over the years that I didn't do my first time around was forgiving people before I make amends with them. Even if I don't think I have anything against them, just forgiving them, as a spiritual act with prayer, making a decision to forgive them, regardless of how big or small my negative feelings toward them might be. Because generally when I've hurt someone, my disease has concocted some ill will, big or small, towards them. So I appreciate that. And, the other thing that's really helping me get out of relapse and back into recovery in this program is building some more routine around recovery, getting to sleep earlier, cutting out TV watching, because that became a major accessory to this addiction and was addictive in itself. And then I would naturally, if I was staying up too late watching TV, episode after episode on my computer, then I just start eating. They're very connected. It's a part of my disease. It's a tool the disease uses. And then, so instead of doing that, getting to sleep earlier through exercise and being tired and waking up earlier, doing some meditation and getting onto this meeting and others is definitely helping. So I've been taking a walk while I listen to this meeting too, which has been a good part of the routine. So appreciate everybody. I'll keep listening. Thank you. And I'm available for outreach. 10 steps if anybody ever, wants my info is on the phone list. Thanks.
And thank you so much, Vane W. in Arizona. Okay, we're on page 77, the second paragraph. Under no condition do we criticize. And who else would like to share on this paragraph who has not shared Monday or Tuesday?
Stephanie L. Carol G.
Judy J. from Illinois.
Judy J. Anyone else? We're very quiet this morning.
Diane S.
Diane S. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go with those four. Stephanie L., Carol G., Judy J., and Diane S. Go ahead, please, Stephanie.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and I can't stand the quiet. I wanted to share on this paragraph anyways, but day one, my sponsor brought me to page 58, and she said, if you have decided what you want, that you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. She said, are you ready to make that decision? And that decision follows me in every one of these steps. And, you know, I love how it says we do not criticize such a person or argue. We simply tell him that we'll never get over drinking until we straighten out our past. And, you know, being willing to go to any lengths meant that I had to make an amends to my ex-husband. And let me tell you, it was a tumultuous marriage. There was a lot of harm that was done by him to me, and from, you know, I harmed him as well. And for many years in this program, I was not willing to make this amends. And, you know, surprise, surprise, I have relapsed in my story. And I think a part of that definitely ties to the fact that I wasn't willing to make this amends, because here's the deal. You know, this is a spiritual program, and I need the power. I don't have the power to not pick up that first bite without plugging in to my higher power, who I call God. And these resentments or these harms that I've done others, these things block me from that power. So I have to be willing to keep that channel clear. And so I said, all right, fine. I'm going to make an amends to my ex-husband. And, you know, the crazy thing is I made an amends to him, and, you know, he didn't take it very well, and I get that. However, my heart changed. I don't know what it was about that amends, but I was able to forgive him. And I was, like, the resentment was gone. And then, like, a year later, my youngest daughter graduated from college, and we divorced when she was like a year old, so she doesn't even remember her parents ever being together. And we were able to be together, take pictures with her, and I was okay. I harbored no resentment for this man that I couldn't let go for so long because of making this amends. And I don't know why it works that way. I don't know how it works that way. All I know, and my sponsor says this all the time, God comes in and rewires our hearts. And my heart was rewired around my husband when I made that amends to him. And it truly was a miracle. And, you know, for the newcomers, keep coming back. If you're not willing to make an amends, do it for yourself, do it for your recovery, do it so that, you know, like for me, so I can keep that channel clear between that power that I need so desperately every minute of the day to stay recovered. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
And thank you, Stephanie L. in California. That made me chuckle. I can't stand the quiet either. So thank you, Stephanie. Okay, Carol G., you are up, followed by Judy J. Go ahead, please, Carol.
Thank you so much. My mouth is hanging open today because these meetings are so important. I came on this meeting like so many other days, like, oh, you know, I have time, I can go on the vision meeting. Just got on innocently, and God had a plan, and the plan was somebody was going to be talking, and all of a sudden, I was going to think of something so profound and so deep in terms of me making amends to somebody in my life. I've done four steps. I've been in program a long time, I made amends to God, but I didn't make amends to this person. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me right now, oh my gosh, I have to make amends to this person. And I just can't believe it's taken me this long to realize that I have to make amends for this. I guess it shows my growth. I was so unconscious for so long. I didn't realize the significance of my actions. I was so selfish. I never thought about anybody else and how it affected them. So I'm just grateful to God. He got me here to this meeting. And this person just happened to reach out to me a couple of months ago just to say they had something of mine and they wanted to give it to me after not speaking for 30 years. And this is the very same person that I now have to go back and make amends to. I know it's going to be very emotional. I'll probably cry. But I'm just so grateful that I've been shown that this is the next thing that I have to do. So I will never think about, oh, a meeting's just a meeting. It's not. You never know what's going to come up. Thank you, God. So thank you for listening in my past.
Carol, what state are you calling from?
Illinois.
Illinois. Okay, great. Thanks. Carol G. in Illinois. Okay, Judy J., I believe you're also in Illinois. Go ahead, please, Judy.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. I've been listening to these meetings the last few days intently because that's where I'm at with my new sponsor for. I remember when I first came into program and was aware of the 12 steps, and I read through and I saw where I had to make amends. And I thought, nope, I'm not doing that. But I didn't want to do it. So I left the program. Of course, they came back in desperation, and I was willing to do whatever my sponsor, mentor asked me to do. And what came up when I was doing my fourth step was that I owed some money way back to a girlfriend in 1972. That's a long. Once in a while, she'd come and I really didn't even talk to her because of the shame I felt over this amount of money that I owed her. And finally, when I did the fourth step, it came up, and I talked to my sponsor. I don't even know how to get a hold of her. Her family was all gone from around here. Anyway, thank goodness for Facebook. I did find her on that, and I did find an address. No phone number, whatever. But anyway, my sponsor and I came up with a letter to write to her, and I did. And it was so freeing to write the letter. I'd let it go. Whatever was to come out of that was to come out of that. She called me. We really had not talked, like I say, since high school graduation. And she, in her conversation with me, she said, oh, Judy, you know, I don't even know what you're talking about. Don't worry about that. You've thought about that all these years. And I just let her talk because it didn't matter how she felt about my amends. It was so important to me. And we had a great conversation, ended the conversation, and I told her I was going to make a donation to a humane society because she was very involved in horses. 2 weeks later, after our conversation, her and her husband they were killed in a truck accident hauling their horses. Excuse me. I'm so glad I had the program and I had a sponsor that walked me through it, that I knew that I had let that go truly. And I'm just so glad for the 12 steps. It's made such a difference in my living, because that's when I came into the program. I was listening to 12-step meetings, and I thought, I want that integrity in my life.
And it's slowly getting there. Not easy, but it's uncomfortable at times. I don't care. I saw and felt how important that was. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Judy J. I'm sorry for the loss of that couple. So that's Judy J. in Illinois, I believe. And before I take you, Diane S., just a reminder, we do have some time for more sharing on this paragraph, page 77, the second paragraph. Looking forward to lots of people jumping in when I am ready to take names. So go ahead, please, Diane S., and what state are you calling from?
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you. My name is Diane S., and I am from Florida, Eastern Standard Time. And the making amends and not criticizing was made very plain to me from the very beginning with my sponsor. It was hard to understand at first, you know, because I felt everyone had hurt me so much, you know, early in the years. But as I grew in the program, I understood what it was by not criticizing others and focusing on myself. It actually, yeah, it freed me, and also it helped me to grow as a person, you know, seeing my wrong in the situation and seeing that, you know, people are human and able to have character defects. And it helped me to see my own other than just overeating, that I was a very, you know, defective person also. And it helped me greatly because I made amends early to family members who I felt had hurt me. And now that we're older, because it wasn't very accepted by them, especially there were certain family members who didn't accept it. But now that I'm older and we're older, I have no unforgiveness in me. I am able to help them because I'm the younger and they're the older. I'm able to assist them and help them and keep them a part of my life now that they I'm needed more in their lives, you know, and every now and then I'll think about the fact of a lot of the hurt that had been done to me, but I keep remembering that I have to, you know, I have to work on me, you know, and I have to be the best sister or family member I can to these people because for whatever reason, they are, you know, still somewhat in a lot of the cycle of damage that we came out of as a family. It's really freeing to know that I can, when I'm called, I can go, I can do, I can be there. And it has made a difference that, to the best of their ability, they are there for me. And that's that comes with also accepting, you know, learning how to accept others where they are and accept myself as I grow. And that's all I wanted to share. But thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Diane S. in Florida. Okay, who else would like to share on the second paragraph, page 77, who hasn't shared on Monday or Tuesday? I'm ready for your name.
Landy, Arizona.
What was your name?
Landy B., Arizona.
How do you spell that?
B
Okay, I thought I heard Veronica B.
Elaine F.
Elaine S. Okay, let's stop with you three then. So the first name I'm having a hard time understanding. I apologize. I think it was Linnea B. And then I have Veronica B. and Elena. So go ahead, please. Linnea
Landy
B. Landy
B. in Arizona.
Okay, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for your shares and for this meeting. I use self-righteousness to be right, and it's been such a shock to realize how wrong I was, how hurtful I was in a recent relationship, and it's such a blessing to now, knowing my part, I can forgive that person, and I feel like that my amends that I'm going to need to make, and which is going to is for me to clear up the past, and also for this person to say, you know, wow, you really didn't deserve what you got from me, and because I just feel awful about who I was. But the good news is that whether he forgives me or not, God does. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Landy B. in Arizona. And Veronica B., go ahead, please. You're up, followed by Elaine F.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. Step 9 is my least favorite step. I hate to admit that for obvious reasons. I hate to admit when I'm wrong, but it is necessary for me to do this step so that I could get a relationship with God, because this is why I'm doing this work. And it tells me specifically how to behave, and it tells me what I am to do. His faults are not discussed. It doesn't matter if I'm making my amends to someone who has 50% of the cause of harm. I don't discuss their 50%. I only discuss my part of the harm that I caused, my behavior that I caused, any kind of hurt that I've caused. That is the only thing that I discuss when I made my amends. And it tells me that I am to be calm and frank. I remember when I made my amends to my whole family, I said to myself, there's no way. It was very hard for me to do that. And my sponsor says, I told her, I don't feel like making an amends. I don't feel it in my heart. And she said, it doesn't matter what you feel. It just matters that you do it. And so that's kind of like the attitude that I took when I made my amends to my family. And they were very receptive. And then it was my job to not to continue that behavior again. And that was the hard part. The hard part for me is to not continue the behavior. That's why I continue to do the work, because I am not cured. I still wake up unrecovered. So I have to do a lot of work to get connected to God so that I can do his work every single day. So my family's could be very, I let their personality get to me once sister in particular, so I really have to dig deep to have God help me with that relationship. Because from the beginning of doing this work, I told God, my sponsor, that I was willing to go to any length to get a relationship with God. And with getting that relationship with God, the obsession of compulsive eating left me. So I have to be willing to have God change my relationships. I cannot do this on my own. Only God can. And I have God's power today to change that relationship as long as I stay in the middle of doing this work and stay in the middle of Overeaters Anonymous, because this is the only way that I'm able to maintain this this lifestyle of mine. And I just don't do an amends once and then I'm done. No, it's a, today I practice living amends, which is to be kind and loving every day. That's my goal every day. I do not do it perfectly.
Time, please.
But I do ask God to help me every single day. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Elaine S., go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Elaine S. in California and recovered by the grace of God, by the grace of God. And I want to say how grateful I am to everyone who's spoken today, because it has just moved me so much. And I realize how much step nine has been the step that has saved my life. This step has allowed me to clean up all the garbage that made me feel so nervous and unsettled, and be able to, for the first time in my life, to really relax, to really be in the moment. And one of the most important amends I made was to my husband. And even without thinking of what he did for me, but why I made the harm to begin with was out of fear, tremendous fear that made me, when we retired, say, we have to start our life now. We had decided we were going to move, and I decided where I wanted to live, and it was me. This is what I wanted. I couldn't wait. I couldn't have us make a decision together. I had to make the decision. And 5 years later, when I was, you know, got into the program and was ready to make my amends, I was able to say to him, you know what? We don't have to live in this city anymore that you really say you don't like. But we can decide together where we want to live. And so he didn't really, I think, believe me at first, but over time he did. It took a while. And as it turned out, we've stayed in this city, we've expanded our house, we're both enjoying it, and he's more and more trusting me. And I'm so grateful to this program, to OA. I'm thrilled that I'm a compulsive eater, because I wouldn't have this program otherwise. And my relationship with my daughter and my son-in-law and everyone is so different as a result. I'm very grateful to all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine S. in California. And thank you, everyone who did service by sharing this morning. I know it's hard to step up and share sometimes, and you all did a great job and very helpful to all of us for your share. So thank you so much. And we are going to close this meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Penny L.C., would you please read a vision for you?
Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.